You have your Bible. We're going to continue our study tonight. We're going to try to go through four lessons tonight, right quickly. And then we may come back next Wednesday night and do four lessons and we'll be done, okay? But I want to go through this. I want to get this duties of parents. It's very important that we get this. We need to know how to do it and do it right. And we appreciate the Lord and the guidance that He gives us day by day, the training and the ability to do what's right according to the perfect will of God. Amen. If you want to turn tonight while she's turning, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Amen. So we see faith is the substance. Now substance is something that's got a foundation, something you can see. Amen. Something that you might not be able to see, but you can know, you can have assurance of. It's almost like that title deed or a guarantee. Amen. So that's what we have when we have faith to believe. In lesson 8 tonight, if you got your booklet, we want to look at the training them into a habit of faith. Now, faith, it said, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. In other words, that conviction, that reality of what we can't see. Brother Charles, I can't see heaven, but I know it's there. I can't see the Lord Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father, but I know He's there. Amen. I have a confidence in my heart. When the Lord saved me, He gave me the confidence to know these things. And I appreciate that. But he goes, he says, I mean by this, you should train them up to believe what you say. You should try to make them feel confidence in your judgment and respect your opinions as better than their own. You should accustom them to think that when you say a thing is bad for them, it must be bad. And when you say it's good for them, it must be good. That your knowledge, in short, is better than their own, and that they may rely implicitly on your word. Teach them to feel that what they know not now, they will probably know hereafter. And to be satisfied, there is a reason and a needs be for everything you require them to do. Who indeed can describe the blessedness of a real spirit of faith? Or rather, who can tell the misery that unbelief has brought upon this world? Amen. And that ain't a fact. Misery. The Bible says, you know, the Bible says that misery is a part of life, but misery loves company. Have you ever noticed the old saying, misery loves company? If somebody gets miserable, if you ain't very careful, they'd be three or four jumping line to be miserable with him. Amen? Well, I don't like misery. Man, I stay away from that. I'd pray for somebody like that and say, well, you know, I'll pray for you, but I ain't going where you're at. Amen? But unbelief has brought a lot of misery in this world. Unbelief made Eve eat the forbidden fruit. She doubted the truth of God's word. You shall surely die. Amen? That's not too hard to believe. Thou shalt surely die. What does it mean? Thou shalt surely die. Amen. Unbelief made the old world reject Noah's warning and also perish in sin. Unbelief kept Israel in the wilderness. It was the bar that kept them from entering the promised land. Unbelief made the Jews crucify the Lord of glory. They believed not the voice of Moses and the prophets, though read to them every day. I was reading an article the other day about this, and I've been looking at some Jews and some Jewish missionaries and things like that I was talking to you about. And I got to look in, and there was a Jewish rabbi. He was trying to tell about how what they believed is right. And how that Jesus couldn't have been the Messiah because when Jesus here, that the new temple is going to be built and all this stuff, and that it will be in the last day and during the millennial kingdom. But if they would have listened to what the prophets are saying, there was a new synagogue, a new place, a palace that was built right then. Amen. They told him, they said, hey, go over here, look what Herod did. He said, you know what? He said, you destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll build it up. And they said, hey, you know, we was way up into 40-some years of building this temple, and you say you're going to tear it down and build it back in 3 days? Hey, if the Jew would have been listening, praise God, the prophecy was fulfilled about the temple, amen, but they just wasn't looking for the Messiah. But I'm afraid today in the world we're living in, we're not looking for Him to come again. Amen. We need to be really looking for the Lord to come again in these last days in which we live. But it says unbelief in God's promises, unbelief in God's threatenings, unbelief in our own sinfulness, unbelief in our own danger, unbelief in everything that runs counter to the pride and worldliness of our evil hearts. Reader, you train your children to little purpose if you do not train them to a habit of implicit faith. Faith in their parents' word, confidence that what their parents say must be right. Amen. You know, if we tell our children the truth, there's no reason for them to doubt us. Amen. He says, I've heard it said by some that you should require nothing of children which they cannot understand, that you should explain and give a reason for everything you desire them to do. I warn you solemnly against such a notion. I tell you plainly, I think it an unsound and rotten principle. Now listen to this. No doubt it is absurd to make a mystery of everything you do, and there are many things which is well to explain to children in order that they may see that they are reasonable and wise. But to bring them up with an idea that they must take nothing on trust, that they were with their weak and imperfect understanding must have the why and the wherefore made clear to them at every step they take. This is indeed a fearful mistake and likely to have the worst effect on our minds. They don't learn to take anything by faith. Amen? We've got to teach our children to take things by faith, to believe that they are because mama said so, or daddy said so, or because God says so. So reason with your children if you are so disposed at certain times. But never forget to keep him in mind, if you really love him, that he is but a child after all, that he thinks as a child, he understands as a child, and therefore must not expect to know the reason of everything at once. Amen? Sometimes it's just say, because I said so. Amen? It's sufficient. You say, well, how do you know that? Because it's biblical. He says, set before him the example of Isaac in the days which Abraham took him to offer him on Mount Moriah, Genesis 22. He asked his father that single question, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And he got no answer but this, God will provide himself a lamb. How or where or whence or in what manner or by what means? All this Isaac was not told, but the answer was enough. He believed that it would be well because his father said so, and he was content. Amen? But it has to start at a young age. We got to tell them at a young age and let them be content in the statement that everything's going to be okay because you said so. He tell your children, too, that we must all be learners in our beginnings, and there is an alphabet to be mastered in every kind of knowledge. That the best horse in the world that had need once to be broken. That a day will come when they will see the wisdom of all your training. But in the meantime, if you say a thing is right, it must be enough for them. They must believe you and be content. Now listen, it says, parents, if any point in training is important, it is this. I charge you by the affection you have to your children, use every means to train them up to a habit of faith, most of all faith in the Word of God, that they can pray, they talk to God, they can believe that God hears and answers prayer. Amen? And that God will save them and God will keep them and God will encourage them. Lesson 9, train them to a habit of obedience. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, the Bible says, to obey is better than sacrifice. Amen? We need to be obedient. We need to learn obedience. To obey is mentioned in the Bible 69 times. To obey. Calls for obedience is mentioned 12 times in the New Testament. So it must be important because the Holy Ghost of God gave it to us to be obedient. Amen? He goes on and says, this is an object which is worth any labor to attain. No habit, I suspect, has such an influence over our lives as this. Parents, determined to make your children obey you, though it may cost you much trouble and cost them many tears. Let there be no questioning and reasoning and disputing and delaying and answering again. When you give them a command, let them see plainly that you will have it done. Obedience is the only reality. It is faith visible faith acting and faith incarnate. It is the test of real discipleship among the Lord's people. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. John 15:14. It ought to be the mark of well-trained children that they do whatsoever their parents command them. Do you hear that, youngins? Do what your parents tell you to do. That's a mark of a good kid. Amen. He said, where indeed is the honor which the fifth commandment enjoins if fathers and mothers are not obeyed cheerfully, willingly, and at once? Amen. And mom and daddy, it's our responsibility to see that they do it cheerfully, willingly, and at once. Amen. No excuses. Not, no, well, papa, well, mama, well, mama, well, daddy. No, it's, I ask you to do that, please do it. Amen. Early obedience has all Scripture on its side. It is in Abraham's praise, not merely he will train his family, but he will command his children and his household after him. Genesis 18:19. It is said of the Lord Jesus Christ himself that when he was young, he was subject to Mary and Joseph. Luke 2:51. Observe how implicitly Joseph obeyed the word of his father Jacob. See how Isaac speaks of it as an evil thing when the child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient. Amen? Isaiah 3:5. It breaks my heart when I see these grandchildren raising their voice and hollering and pitching fit on their grandparents. Amen? That's disrespectful. When I was a child, I can remember when I was a kid, my mom and dad told me, said, if my mom and papa have to give you a whipping, you'll get two when you get home. You know what? Mama and Papa never had to give me a whipping because they would have told Mama, and Mama or Daddy one would have given me two of them when I got home. Amen. Because what were they doing? They was teaching me respect. And I have nothing but the utmost respect for all of my grandparents and my parents. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for that raising. Mark how the Apostle Paul names disobedience to parents as one of the bad signs of the latter time in 2 Timothy 3:2. He gives a whole list of them, of these things that's bad. And one of them is being disobedient to parents. Amen. And we got to be careful. We don't want to be disobedient. He said, mark how he singles out this grace of requiring obedience as one that should adorn a Christian ministry. A bishop must be one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. And again, let the deacons rule their children and their own houses well. 1 Timothy 3:4-12. And again, an elder must be one having faithful children, children not accused of riot or unruly. Titus 1:6. Pretty much covers the gamut, doesn't it? Amen? Parents, do you wish to see your children happy? Well, that's a good question. Sure we do. All of us want to see our children happy, right? It says, take care then that you train them to obey when they are spoken to do this to as they are bid. Believe me, we are not made for entire independence. We are not fit for it. Even Christ's free men have to have a yoke to wear. They serve the Lord Jesus Christ, Colossians 3:24. The funniest thing I ever heard was a young man told me, he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to, mom and daddy's too strict. They won't allow me to do nothing. I'm going to join the army. I said, that's what I do, buddy. If you don't like being obedient, if you don't like obeying commands, if you don't like listening and doing what you're told, I'd join the Marine Corps. Amen. They got more discipline. That's the craziest thing I ever heard. Didn't like them. Listen to mom and daddy. So they're going to join them armed services. And then they tell you, you don't even belong to yourself. You belong to them, Uncle Sam. And you do whatever he tells you. Total obedience. Without question. Amen. But we need to give that now. We need to give that to the Lord. Most explicitly. It says, children cannot learn too soon that this is a world in which we are not all intended to rule, and that we are never in our right place until we know how to obey our betters. Sometimes these people that you're going to have to, hey, listen, in life, you're going to have to work for somebody somewhere. And I don't care how high up you go, you're still going to have to answer to somebody. Amen? And you're ultimately going to have to answer to God Almighty all your life. Amen? We might as well just answer up now and say, yes, sir. Praise the Lord. It says, teach them to obey while young, or else they will be fretting against God all their lives long and wear themselves out with the vain idea of being independent of His control. You wonder why we can't get children in church, why we can't get them to get in here and follow the Lord and do what's right? Because they've never been shown. We've never shown them they're supposed to be faithful to the Lord, faithful to the Lord's house, and they're supposed to be obedient to the Lord. But we've lost control of them. They're out there and they're just doing their own thing. You see them now over here at the mall, at the mall on Saturdays and Friday nights, little old youngins, 8, 10, 11 years old, by themselves with a crowd running like a bunch of animals. Where's mom and daddy? They just don't care. Amen? It's easier to take them out there and dump them out than to try to show them what's right. God ain't in that, youngins. Amen? He said, read, this hint is only too much needed. You will see many in this day who allow their children to choose and think for themselves long before they are able, and even make excuses for this disobedience. Have you ever seen that? Little Johnny and little, they're just as mean as can be, and mom and daddy's got an excuse. Well, they done that when they was little. Well, yeah, and you let them get by with it, now they're doing it while they're big. Amen? Hey, we don't need to make excuses for them. We need to correct them when they mess up. Amen? He said, as if it were a thing not to be blamed. To my eyes, a parent always yielding and a child always having his own way is a most painful sight. Painful because I see God's appointed order of things inverted and turned upside down. Painful because I feel sure the consequence of that child's character in the end will be self-will, pride, and self-conceit. Amen? If you let a child just go to his own way, he's going to be a wild child. Amen? And you can't, the only way you do it, you're going to have to rein them in early. So you must not wonder that men refuse to obey their Father, which is in heaven, if you allow them when children to disobey their Father who is upon earth. Amen. But the sad part is you got so many homes now where you got children in single parent homes. Mama's trying to do the best they can and work a job and try to provide with nobody there to help her. Sometimes you got the daddy in the same situation with nobody to help her. But we can't use that as an excuse. In the world we're living in, they say, well, we use it as an excuse. Well, I never had a daddy or I never had a mama. Amen. Well, it's still our responsibility to stand up and do right and to show our children the right way. He concludes and says, parents, if you love your children, let obedience be a motto and a watchword continually before their eyes. Obedience. How do they do that? They see you obeying God. They see you being mindful of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's how they learn. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20. You have your Bible? I want to turn there. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20. He says, training, lesson 10, he said, train them to a habit of always speaking the truth. Now, I told you in the beginning of this thing, you don't have to teach them to lie. Children will lie and tell you a lie from the time they're little bitty. I mean, they'll be driving down the road looking out the window and they make up stuff. They make up stuff. They say, Mama, I seen an elephant. Sure you did. Amen. Some big old round thing had something sticking out of it, and it's an elephant. Man, I guess in their little minds. But to train them in the habit of always speaking truth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. It said, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now notice, Holy Spirit of God writes this out for us. He puts it down here for us. And the very next verse, verse 25, he says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one with another. Now, isn't that pretty ironic? Because he said, hey, you know what? You put on a new man. And he said, oh, by the way, when you do that, you got to quit lying. He said, you got to start telling the truth. Amen? Hey, it's easy to tell a lie. Sometimes it's hard to tell the truth. Amen? Now, don't look at me funny in your religious mind. Amen. Hey, sometimes we get a story, and it's sometimes our mind, we just want to keep it going. And you always want your story to be a little bit better than the fella that told you. Amen? You always want your story to be a little bit bigger than what the other lady told. My mother said one time where she worked, said there was some folks there, and this lady told her, said, watch this. She went over and told this lady something, and said by the end of the day, he'd went all the way through the plant and come back to her, and it was nothing like she had told. Amen? They had completely distorted it and made it great big. Amen. Because a lie comes natural because of our sin nature. Amen. He goes, said, truth speaking is far less common in the world than at first sight we are disposed to think. The whole truth and nothing but the truth is a golden rule which many would do well to bear in mind. Lying and prevarication are old sins. Lying is old. It's old news. I think the devil started way back in the garden. Amen. Lying and half-truths. That's what prevarication is. It's just a shuffling and invading and stretching it out or not telling the whole thing. Amen. He said the devil was the father of them. He deceived Eve by a bold lie, and ever since the fall, it is a sin against which all the children of Eve have need to be on their guard. Only think how much falsehood and deceit there is in the world. How much exaggeration. I mean, that's that adding to it. Making it bigger than what it is. Making it sound more exciting. Amen? So how many additions are made to a simple story? How many things left out if it does not serve the speaker's interest to tell them? How few there are about us of whom we can say, we put unhesitating trust in their word. Verily, the ancient Persians were wise in their generation. It was a leading point with them to educate their children that they should learn to speak the truth. Did you see that? They educated their children. They taught them to speak the truth, to tell the truth. It didn't come natural. See, we've got it in our mind today that little Johnny, he's going to tell the truth. He's a good kid. He is always going to tell the truth. Well, not if some big story comes along he can get a hold of or he can make up. He's going to exaggerate. So what an awful proof it is of man's nature's natural sinfulness that it should be needful to name such a point at all. Reader, I would have you remark how often God is spoken of in the Old Testament as the God of truth. Now listen to this. Truth seems to be especially set before us as a leading feature and characteristic of Him with whom we have to do. Amen? Truth is the very essence of God. If we don't believe God is truth, then we can't believe nothing that this book says. But if we believe God is absolute truth, absolutely, then we can believe everything that the Word of God says. Amen? He never swerves from the straight line. He abhors lying and hypocrisy. Try to keep this continually before your children's minds. Press upon them at all times that less than the truth is a lie. That in invasion, excuse making, and exaggeration are all halfway houses towards what is false and ought to be avoided. Encourage them in any circumstance to be straightforward and whatever it may cost them to speak the truth. Amen. See, sometimes we get caught in a bind. But if you get to telling the tale, then you got to stop it when you're in a bind and try to remember what you told. Amen. It's a whole lot easier just teach our children to always tell the truth. Landon, if you're out there throwing a ball and it bounces off something and goes through Papa's windshield on his Dodge truck, what do you do? Run. Run and hide, right? No, you go and you say, "Papaw, I throw the ball, it bounced on this, and it went through the windshield of your truck. Papaw, I'm sorry." And he'll say, "Well, after you've mowed 27 yards and paid for it, we'll talk about it." But no, it's a whole lot better to be honest. Hey, he's going to know it got broke anyway. I mean, it didn't just that ball didn't just fly through the air from another planet and bust the windshield. Amen? So it's better off to just always tell the truth. Be straightforward. Say, "You know what? I messed up. The worst... Listen, I'll just tell you about me. The worst situation I ever got in my life is because I didn't tell the absolute truth. Something happened and I said, 'Well, yeah, I don't know.' Well, I did know. Amen? I was involved in what happened, but I said, 'Well, I don't know.' I didn't know exactly how it happened, but I knew what happened. Amen? And it bothered..." Spell it. "It bothered me for a long time till I finally just said, 'You know what? That was me. I was involved in that. This is my part. I know what I did.' Because I'd carried it around. It got to be a burden. Because I hadn't told the absolute truth. What I knew. Amen? So it's always better to tell the truth. Straightforward. Amen. Speak the truth. So I press this subject on your attention, not merely for the sake of your children's character in the world, though I might dwell much on this. I urge it rather for your own comfort and assistance in all your dealings with them." Now listen to this. "You will find it a mighty help indeed to be able always to trust their word. It will go far to prevent that habit of concealment which so unhappily prevails sometimes among children. Openness and straightforwardness depend much upon a parent's treatment of this matter in the days of their infancy." Amen? Straightforwardness, always telling the truth. And when your children come and tell you the truth, amen, be willing to accept the truth so that you can have that communication with them. We don't want to break the line of communication with our children. We want them to be able to come to us and talk to us. When Landon comes to Papa and says, "Papa, I broke your truck," when the tears are running, Papa's going to be upset. Papa's going to be irate. But it's just a truck window. We can fix it. Amen? So we got to be understanding, and we got to always keep in your mind that they were truthful with you. And always remember to appreciate the truthfulness. Amen? I know several instances where young people has been, you know, young drivers get started driving and they have accidents. And it's always good to always tell the truth. Amen. An officer, listen, you young people, it's going to get your license one of these days, Malachi, in a little while. If you have an accident and a trooper comes to where you're at, if you tell him a lie, you know what he's going to do? If he's been in it any time at all, he's going to go know right away that you lied him. He's going to know right away that your character's flawed. And he's going to know right away that you can't be trusted. And that's, so right there, when he pulls up the scene, you tell him what happened, you tell him your side of the story, tell him a lie, they three strikes against you right away. Where he might have said, "Okay, you know, let's get a tow truck, pull it back in the road, make sure there's no damage, and make sure property ain't damaged." Instead, he's going to say, "Well, let me see, young man, I'm going to give you a ticket for reckless driving," and he'll just keep on and keep on. But if you tell him the truth, amen, he'll go a whole lot farther with you. That's why it's important to always tell the truth. Hey, when you stand before God, you think you can lie to Him? No, sir. He knows exactly the truth. You can't hide it from Him. You can't tell a lie and get by with it. Amen? So it's important to tell the truth. Openness and straightforwardness depend much upon the parents' treatment of this matter in the days of our infancy. So we start out early with our children. We start teaching them what's right and let the Lord direct their hearts all the days of their life. Amen? Turn over to, let's go to lesson 15 tonight. I want to skip a couple. We'll come back and pick them up. Lesson 15, it's not very long. We're actually running ahead of schedule. I've not moderated a lot tonight. We've just covered them. We might go back and pick up lesson 11 tonight if you ain't in a hurry. It won't take a minute. Train them remembering continually the power of sin. Sin is a tremendous power tonight. It's trying to destroy our children. Said, "I named this shortly in order to guard you against unscriptural expectations." Now just listen to this very carefully. So you must not expect to find your children's minds a sheet of pure white paper and to have no trouble if you only use right means. Amen? Did you get that? Now listen to what he goes on. He said, I warn you plainly, you will find no such thing. It is painful to see how much corruption, evil there is in a young child's heart and how soon it begins to bear fruit. Now listen to what happens. Violent tempers, self-will, pride, envy, sullenness, passion, idleness, selfishness, deceit, cunning, falsehood, hypocrisy, a terrible aptness to learn what is bad, a painful slowness to learn what is good, a readiness to pretend anything in order to gain their own ends. That don't have to be taught. All that's natural. All these things, or some of them, you must be prepared to see even in your own flesh and blood. Amen? Even in your children. There'll be some of it in there. Rebellion. Remember, it's bound up in the heart of a child. In little ways, they will creep out at a very early age. It is almost startling to observe how naturally they seem to spring up. Children require, now listen to this, children require no schooling to learn to sin. Amen? You don't have to train them to do wrong. It comes natural. But you must not be discouraged and cast down by what you see. You must not think it a strange and unusual thing that little hearts can be so full of sin. It is the only portion which our father Adam left us. It is that fallen nature with which we come into the world. It is that inheritance which belongs to us all. Every one of us, with all sin, comes short of the glory of God. Because it says, let it rather make you more diligent in using every means which seems most likely by God's blessing to counteract the mischief. Let it make you more and more careful so far as in you lies to keep your children out of the way of temptation. Amen? We've got to realize that they're apt to sin. But it ought to encourage us instead of discourage us that it's that we, with the help of the Lord, because of His power in us and to help us, that we can help them not to sin. Amen? It's a funny thing, because you have kids, especially if you've had two or three or four, and the first one comes along and it does real good. It don't ever get no trouble. It minds you. It does everything it's supposed to do. We have a tendency to drop our guard a little bit. So the next one comes along, we're a little bit more lenient. And the next one comes along, a little bit more lenient yet. And the next thing you know, when that third or fourth one comes along, we're letting them do whatever they want to do. Right? Amen. And if good Lord's with us and we're really lucky, they turn out okay. But a lot of times, because the first one done good, we drop our guard. I want to say, when you're raising children, praise God, from experience, you can't ever drop your guard. Amen? Because just about the time you drop your guard is when when they go crazy. They do something really stupid. Amen? Get themselves in some kind of trouble or mischief. And you say, well, you know, their sister didn't do it, their brother didn't do that. Why did you do this? Well, because mom and daddy wasn't guarding them, keeping them in their line of sight. Never listen to those who tell you your children are good and well brought up and can be trusted. Now that's good advice. If somebody starts telling you how good your kid is, you better be careful. Don't you believe it. They're rotten little rascals. Amen? They just don't see them at home. They have a tendency to act pretty good at the church house, but they don't do so good at your house. He said, think rather that they are hearts. Now, I like this. Think rather that they are hearts. Their hearts are always inflammable as tinder. At their very best, they only want a spark to set their corruptions alight. Parents are seldom too cautious. You get that? We're never too cautious. Now, I've heard people say, well, you know, you're just too strict. You're too cautious with your children. Yeah, I don't think you can be too cautious. We're living in a world of corruption, and we got children of corrupt minds, of a sin nature. We can't be too cautious. Amen? said, remember the natural depravity of your children and take care. Amen. So he said, hey, listen, we need to realize the power of sin in our little ones' lives. Those children, those grandchildren, those grown children that we have, amen, they're still apt to sin. Still apt to mess up. And we need to remember continually the power that sin has in their lives. Amen. Is that right? It's always there. Sin is always there. It's abundant. It's everywhere. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's drop back to number 11. We'll go ahead and get number 11 right quickly. It's not real long. That be all right? And then next Wednesday night, we'll finish it up. To train them to a habit of always redeeming the time. Now, this is a good one. Always redeeming the time. Idleness is the devil's best friend. It is the surest way to give him an opportunity of doing us harm. Now, listen to this. This is a good lesson right here. Because we're living in a world, our children, our parents, and a lot of us ourselves are idle. With too much idle time. Amen? It says, an idle mind is like an open door, and if Satan does not enter in himself by it, it is certain he will throw in something to raise bad thoughts in our souls. No created being is ever meant to be idle. Service and work is the appointed portion of every creature of God. The angels in heaven work. They are the Lord's ministering servants, ever doing His will. Adam in paradise had work. Now, you know the difference in work and work is the attitude of our mind. Adam had work in the garden. As a keeper of the garden, it was the attitude of his mind. He enjoyed what he was doing because he was in perfect harmony with God. Amen? The angels in heaven are ministers. They're enjoying what they're doing because they're doing what they enjoy. It's the attitude of the mind that we have towards it. Amen? And of course, then there's just a point of laziness. A lot of people are just lazy, don't like to work. Adam in paradise had work. He was appointed to dress the Garden of Eden and to keep it. Now listen to this. The redeemed saints in glory will have work. Now listen to what it says. They rest not day and night, singing praise and glory to Him who bought them. Amen? See, the work that we're going to have in heaven is going to be joyful work. And man, weak, sinful man, must have something to do or else his soul will soon get into an unhealthy state. We must have our hands filled and our minds occupied with something or else our imaginations will soon ferment and breed mischief. Amen? An idle mind. A place for the devil to hang out. Devil's workshop. Amen? And what is true of us is true of our children too. Alas indeed, for the man that has nothing to do. The Jews thought idleness a positive sin. It was a law of theirs that every man should bring up his son to some useful trade. And they were right. They knew the heart of man better than some of us appear to do. Idleness made Sodom what she was. It was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread. Now listen, an abundance of idleness was in her. Ezekiel 16:49. What caused Sodom to be so wicked? Idleness. Had time to meditate and think on their sinfulness. Amen. The lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Said idleness had much to do with David's awful sin with the wife of Uriah. I see in 2 Samuel 11 that Joab went out to war against Ammon. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. Was not that idle? And then it was that he saw Bathsheba, and the next step we read is his tremendous and miserable fall because of idleness. Now listen to what he goes on to say. Verily I believe that idleness has led to more sin than almost any other habit that could be named. I suspect it is the mother of many a work of the flesh, the mother of adultery, fornication, drunkenness, and many other deeds of darkness that I have not time to name. Let your own conscience say whether I do not speak the truth. You were idle, and at once the devil knocked at the door and came in. Amen? Now you think about it. We're living in a world of technology. Technology is just everywhere. I mean, it's at our fingertips 24/7. I mean, just a click of a button, and man, we can be in another world in our mind. And we're living in that, and we get so caught up in that. Let me just say this. If you spend more than 30 minutes a day on your computer and it's not part of your job, then you're sitting in idleness. Your mind is just the devil's workshop. Amen? When you get on there conversing with all these different people all over the world and this Facebooking, you know why they call it that? Because you're in somebody's face. Amen? It's exactly right. You're right there in somebody's face seeing everything that everybody's doing. No wonder we're half crazy. Because you know why? Because people are problem solvers. And we're living in a modern technology where we see everybody's problems. And what we do is, and our nature, it's our nature, it's who we are, we try to solve those problems. Can you see how big a mess you can get into in a hurry? Because we try, hey, my daughter's a perfect example. She don't do a whole lot of Facebook, but everybody and their brother calls her with their problems. Like she's Dr. Phil. And she tries to help them, and it makes her plumb crazy sometimes. And I told her, I said, honey, you can't solve everybody's problems. Amen? We can't solve everybody. Hey, I do good to do, take care of me. I don't need everybody else's. But modern technology is good to put us in a mindset. We get idle and we get to looking at all these things, and praise God, the devil just swamps us and gets us in a state where we can't even think straight. And we don't need that. We need to be aware of that modern technology. He said, ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. That's where we're at. I mean, we're learning. We're getting more and more technology. And man, we don't even know what the truth is. How God can help us and encourage us. How He can lead us in this day and hour that we live. But technology, we got to be careful with it. That's all I'm saying. We need to be careful. If you spend more than 30 minutes a day and it ain't part of your job, you need to be realizing that there's a whole lot of other things you could be doing that's a whole lot more productive. Amen? Unless you got your Bible on your computer where you can be reading on the computer, doing Bible trivia or something, amen, to stimulate your mind, we need to be careful, youngins, that's all I'm saying. Said, and indeed, I do not wonder. Everything in the world around us seems to teach the same lesson. It is distilled water which becomes stagnant and impure. The running, moving streams are always clear. If you have steam machinery, you must work it, or it soon gets out of order. If you have a horse, you must exercise him. He is never so well as when he has regular work. If you would have a good bodily health yourself, you must take exercise. But the Bible says it profits a little. So it does profit a little. Amen. So we need to exercise. We need to exercise our mind, our body. Hey, there was a study out for you folks like some of you here that's starting to get Alzheimer's like me. They're saying now that if you've got Alzheimer's, it's caused by plaque buildup on your brain. Amen. You know what I'm talking about, brother? Well, they're saying now they've done a study that through if you get a physical exercise, that it can actually stop the plaque buildup in the brain. And they're doing a study now with laboratory rats to see if they can take some that's got plaque buildup and let them exercise that's been, you know, just still, and to see if it'll actually get rid of the plaque that's built up. So you older folks, they still hope. Just get out, go volunteer to work with Miss G and get out there and go. Amen. She'll live forever. Be sharp as a tack the day she dies. Amen. Praise the Lord. Get her a hamster wheel. But they say they've got proof of it now. So exercise, it is important. If you always sit still, your body is sure at length to complain. I mean, you know it. People with arthritis, they say you need to get up and move every day, exercise every day, because your body lubricates itself, your joints, with movement. And when you quit moving, hey, believe me, I know. You quit moving, it wants to stop, and it don't want to start again. Amen? They're trying to get me to get my legs straight. And when I work it real hard and get it straight, then it don't want to bend. And when I bend it, and they want 120 degrees before I go back to the doctor on the October 3rd, and when I get it to bend it, then it don't want to go back straight. So I'm in a dilemma here. I'm praying, Lord, help me. I'm getting better, though. It's working. Said the active moving mind is a hard mark for the devil to shoot at. Amen. Especially if we're thinking about the Lord. So try to be always full of useful employment, and thus your enemy will find it difficult to get room to sow tares. Reader, I ask you to set these things before the minds of your children. Teach them the value of time, and try to make them learn the habit of using it well. It pains me to see children idling over what they have in hand, whatever it may be. I love to see them active and industrious and giving their whole heart to all they do, giving their whole heart to lessons when they have to learn, giving their whole heart even to their amusements when they go to play. But we're living in a world today, kids don't know how to play. They don't know how to use their imagination. They don't know how to get a... Hey, when I was little, me and my cousin, for Christmas, we'd get a bag of them toy soldiers, and we'd spend all summer burying and losing them things. And then come Christmas, we'd get another bag of them toy soldiers. Amen? Ain't no telling how many hundreds of thousands of them toy soldiers are up there in Uncle Cotton's bank. But that's what we did. We didn't sit in the house and watch TV. We weren't allowed to. Mother got us up every morning and took us to the fields before she went to work. We worked with Grandma and Grandpa all day. I loved it. Boy, I wish I'd go back and do it now. But if you love them well, let idleness be counted a sin in your family. Amen? Keep them busy. Give them chores. But believe it or not, it won't kill them to make them work a little bit. Ask Jeffrey. Amen. But we appreciate the Lord. And I know what God can do if we let Him. Amen. If we just take these little hints and apply them to our lives, allow God to manifest Himself to us and to show us how much help He has for us. He's there to help us if we just let Him. And He wants to. But we just got to get in a point and a place where we can be helped. Amen.